So whenever you're ready.
Okay. For the record, I am Greg Blackwell, chairperson for the Strategic Planning and Finance Committee. It is 6:01 p.m. Wednesday, October 7th.
6:31.
Thank you. It is 6:31 p.m. Wednesday, October 17th, 2012, with a quorum present. The Strategic Planning and Finance Committee meeting is being called to order. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Pervez was gracious enough to send out the agenda ahead of time. First, we wanted to talk about the action that City Council took on October 3rd, basically just appointing everyone, getting all of our terms set and all that good stuff. So do we have any discussion on item 2 on the agenda?
I have attached for y'all's information on page 2 in your handout the names as well as the expiration of the terms. And then City Council also appointed the chair position as well as the vice chair. They reconfirmed the vice chair position.
Okay. Any other discussion? No? It was pretty straightforward. I watched it on Ustream.
Yeah, I watched last.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch that, but I. Yeah. That's how I keep up.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on. Item 3, we have a vacant place 7, the at-large position is open. We should probably talk about proposing to council that we'd like to fill that place, and maybe there's a council member that has someone in mind, or if someone else has somebody else that might like to bring to council's attention. I'm sorry, David?
Yeah, there was someone I had previously had suggested, but the position got filled prior to.
Okay.
And I can go back and talk to her and ask if she's still interested.
Okay.
And but she deals heavily in financial situations and mortgages, and she's actually a financial advisor. She helps people with their credits, and that's what she does. And she has, like I said, expressed interest in it.
Oh, she had expressed interest in it?
Yes.
Okay.
And she's a resident of Kyle?
Yes.
Out of curiosity, what district does she live in?
6, same as mine.
Okay. Okay.
So if you guys would like, I'll stop by and ask her if she's still interested, and then I'll shoot off an email to everyone. And or how would you like to?
Yeah, please don't shoot emails to everybody, because that would be considered going
against the open records. Yes.
If she's interested, the best thing to do is have her contact the city secretary. There's an application process, and she'll walk her through that.
In fact, there's a online, there's an application. You just click on it. It's a PDF, I think.
Right, yes. That's the same one I did. But no, what I meant is I'll let you know that she's interested.
Oh, okay.
Not that I was, you know.
Okay.
I wasn't even going to supply a name.
Okay.
Just let you know if she's interested or not. That way there, if she's not, then you all know, and then you can go further maybe on your own.
Okay. Revez, can you explain to me why that's against the Open Records Act?
If you discuss committee business through email where each one of y'all is responding or answering questions, that is considered to be...
You're not fulfilling the quorum.
Well, not only that, but you're not discussing openly in the public.
Right.
If somebody was to be interested in that discussion, they don't have preview or...
So emailing you for documents is one
that's
thing?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But you should not discuss business or ask for comments or how...
So it's okay for all of us to... talk to him and everybody to hear it.
Right.
But if you had replied to my email and started a conversation with me, that would be
that's a no.
Right.
The whole trick with the Open Meetings Act, I kind of struggled with it for a while. The trick is that everything needs to be a notice and a notice posted for the public and an agenda. So obviously when we're emailing, that's not happening.
That doesn't work.
Right. So email forums are one of the big dangerous
problems. If you're requesting for information, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. If I would have responded to Chuck's email this morning,
That would be considered. It would be borderline discussion, okay. Committee discussion.
So it's a good thing I didn't.
So I was now, because I know about this, there was a
I got busy. So.
Yeah, because they had roving quorums running around in Austin City Council, and nothing came of it. But it was a little bit of a
something to consider.
If there is an interesting topic that you notice in the emails coming from any one of you to me, the best thing to do is let's just put it on the next meeting. We'll discuss.
Okay.
So would it be better if I just we wait a month and then we'll put it on the agenda that she's not interested, or?
No, you can send that email to me.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And so he's going to send it to him, not copy everyone, correct?
Right.
Okay.
That's fine.
I can do that.
And the process, if you look in your handout, I've highlighted the yellow section, what the ordinance says. The chairperson of each committee shall recommend members to the mayor. So if this person is willing to serve, or if there's somebody else that's interested to serve, it would be from the committee chair going to city council as a recommendation for appointment.
Right.
Now, they may choose that person, or they may appoint one from their own.
Okay.
That name would have to be brought to me.
Right.
So you would relay it to me, and then we go from there.
Okay. Okay. All right. Any other discussion on that? Anybody else know anyone that I'd be interested in?
I might, but I haven't had a full conversation about it. So. I'm going to wait till we hear back from you.
Well, actually, I wouldn't wait.
Let's not wait.
Because everyone can fill out a form going to the mayor just like we all did before. I would not wait.
Okay, all right, fine.
I don't know how this
person's going to... I just didn't want to step on somebody's shoes.
No, there's no shoes to step on.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah. I mean, we want to find interested folks, and we want to find qualified folks as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and then just let the council choose. Mayor and council.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
As far as moving from item to item, we don't need to make the action. We don't need to make a motion or anything like that.
It's not unless it's a decision item.
That we're going to take to council.
Okay. Okay. Item 4, Pervez, would you please give us an update?
Certainly. The first bullet is the city's approved budget. The volume that's before you, have provided a copy for each one of you. This is also available on our website electronically. So this is the complete budget for the fiscal year that we just started on October 1st. There's towards the front is the city manager's budget, proposed budget message to city council. That gives you a comprehensive overview of what was included in the proposed budget and why. And then after that, you have the approved budget with the changes or amendments that City Council made through the budget deliberation process. And then, of course, all the line item budget for each city department is included in the budget document. So if you're interested in seeing what the budget is for mayor and council or the city manager's office or public works, it's all provided in that document. Along with that, towards the back of the document, you have couple of financial policies included, city ordinances that are related to the budget. In addition, there are sections of the city charter are also included in the back in the reference section of the volume. So it's a pretty comprehensive document. It's you don't have to read cover to cover. It's just the sections that you might be interested in or for future reference. With that, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer that.
I didn't. I perused it online.
I know you had a question. Were you able to figure that out and read through this, and are you okay with it?
Oh, the question in email. Right. Yeah, that actually wasn't related to the budget. It was the ordinance you all passed.
Last year.
It's clear. Okay. I just didn't know whether it actually passed because it wasn't in the
city
code. Online.
Right.
Okay.
Then the second bullet is the, we had talked.
I have a real quick question.
Sure.
That you could just clarify for me. So there's, other than the general fund, what are, if just as a kind of an overview, what are the major funds?
For the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
not really what I'm talking about. Yeah. No, I'm talking about there's segregated accounts that are funds.
Right. The city has a total of about roughly 30 funds.
Yeah, there's a
overall.
Lot. What are the main?
The main funds? Operating funds for the city are the general fund.
Right.
General fund is the main operating fund for the city, and that provides funding for public safety, public works, parks and recreation. All of the basic municipal services are provided from the general fund. The sources of revenue for the general fund are property taxes, sales tax, franchise fees, and that's also laid out in the budget document. You'll see some graphs there, pie charts, and all that. It breaks it up. So that's the main operating fund of the city. Then in addition to that, we also have the utility fund, water and wastewater utility fund. And that is an enterprise fund. Basically, what that means is that technically, the users of that enterprise should pay for, through user fees, what it costs to provide the service.
Right, it should be self-sustaining.
Right. In our case, we're not there yet. And you'll see that in a minute.
Yeah, because I noticed that, so that's one of the things. Right.
So those are the two major funds that the city has. Then, of course, we have some grant funds, depending on what type of grants we get. The largest grant fund we have is about $1.2 million that we got from Hays County for parks improvements.
Is that the TIF?
No, that is strictly their tax money that they give to City of Kyle to improve park systems. And the ball fields were improved, part of that. The part of the swimming pool was improved. City Park here, the Lake Kyle was all part of that grant fund.
Okay.
Then we have other funds like police forfeiture fund when they confiscate drug money or cars or guns, that goes in that fund, and you can only use it in a very restricted manner. We have capital improvement funds. These are funds for when you build a CIP, such as a city hall, public works building.
Right, so some of those are pretty big.
Right.
Capital improvement funds.
Right. And the major CIP fund that's included in this budget is the Southside Wastewater Improvement Project.
Right, which is like
$5 million.
Million.
Right. But the operating funds are the two, general fund and utility fund. You'll always hear city council and staff talk about general fund and utility fund.
Right. But those CIP funds can get to be a significant portion
right.
of the total budget. Right.
And then, of course, we have the debt service funds, you know, where we provide the principal and interest payments to the bondholders through those funds. The second bullet, if you recall at the last meeting, we talked about the year-end financial report. Since I came on to City of Kyle, we made some major changes in how we account for our business operations here. Previous to my coming or joining City of Kyle, the city's books were left open for 6, 7, 8 months. And even after that, a year later, 2 years later, they would make amendments or changes going back a year, going back 2 years, 3 years. And that's a big no-no. You should never do that. Once it's audited, it should stay
closed.
Static.
Yeah.
No changes. So we made those changes where the books are closed in October, period. If the city departments are dragging their feet, they take their sweet time in getting their invoices checked, balanced, verified, it will get booked to their new budget. So that kind of put the pressure on them of getting their business in order all in the month of October.
So the end of October it's closed? Is that
That's it. Okay. No more changes.
So October 31?
Yeah, so what we've done is three-step close. 9/30, which is the last day of fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
That's our first close, meaning that you don't have any more budget available. Don't go shopping on the old budget year. Don't commit any city dollars on the old year. So that's close one. close to, which will occur on October 19th, which is get all your final bills in, take care of all your, get your financial house in order, basically. And then close three, which will happen in November, is when we bring the auditors in. They, if they have to, they will book final adjustments. Sometimes they reclassify expenditures into assets and vice versa. But that's going to be very little, very few. So October 19th is the magic date where we will provide financial report to council based on whatever is on the books as of that day. And anything after that goes to the new fiscal year. So these numbers that you we're going to go over in a few minutes are based on as of today. They're a snapshot as of today. And while we're still talking about those, we haven't really gotten all the final invoices. So there's going to be some changes, but they're not going to be material. There may be small invoices coming through that we'll pay by Friday, but that's about it. So what I'd like to do is walk you through in your handout on page, I believe it starts on page four. Mm-hmm. This is a very high-level summary of what City Council is going to get. City Council, our performance, financial performance report is about 200 pages thick. So what I'm showing you is a very high-level summary of the two funds, general fund and the utility fund. And mind you, it's preliminary draft, it's unaudited, and we still have a few lingering invoices out there. So on page five, the circled number five, is the general fund. The table on top, just to give you a feel for what that table is, it's a high-level summary of the general fund. It shows you the beginning balance, the sources of revenues and transfers in, the money that came into the general fund. Then you have expenditures and transfers out. These are expenditures or transfers out, either expending on the city's business or it's going to another city fund or operation. And then, of course, the ending balance. If you move to the right, the first column is, we wanted to show council, at least when I started reporting to council, I wanted to show council a trend so they can see trend, not just report this year's numbers. So I tried to show them two actual years. So here you have, and these are going to move as we move through the time horizon. 9/30/2010, 9/30/2011, and then we have the approved budget for the fiscal year that just ended in September, and the numbers that are going to be the final numbers for the fiscal year. So starting with the approved budget column, the second from the right, beginning balance when the budget was adopted for general fund was $3.2 million. The revenue and transfers in that council adopted as part of the budget was $12.5 million. Expenditures and transfers out was $12.7 million. And the ending balance at that time when the budget was adopted, it was estimated to be $3.1 million, roughly. The numbers that are to the far right, the last column, are going to be very close to what the real number is going to end up on 19th. If you look at the beginning balance, it's not going to change, it's the same. The actual revenues that came in is $13.3 million, and I'll give you some highlights of where those are. The expenditures, we implemented cost containment plans about 2 years now in a row. All of the department heads are very closely monitoring their expenditures. They're scrutinizing what they're spending money on and why. And if they can postpone it or defer it, they're doing that. So we came in, budget was $12.7 million, we came in at $11.8 million. Now this may go up slightly, but it's not going to go up in millions. It'll just be a few thousands. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the ending balance, $4.8 million compared to where the budget was adopted of $3.1 million. So that's a very good financial position to be in. If you look at the highlights below the table, number two, property tax receipts. Now, this is a little tricky. Property tax receipts go into two different places. For general operating expenses, half of it comes into the general fund. The other half is reserved to pay for your debt obligations. So the M&O portion that you see, M&O means maintenance and operations. This is paying for salaries, paying for gasoline, paying for electricity. The property tax receipts portion that is allocated for that purpose was $3.4 million, or 4.4% above the budget that we projected at the time a year ago. Sales tax receipts for the year was $3.5 million. That was 7.1% overall above the budget. And sales tax, when we budget for sales tax, we budget a little bit on the conservative side, because sales tax by sheer nature is very volatile. Mm-hmm. So if we shoot high, it really hurts. So it's pretty close, 7%. Charges for services, this is solid waste services or in garbage service, garbage collection. We billed almost $2 million, which was 2.9% of what we had projected in the budget. Municipal court fines, these are the citations, $806,000, 46% more than what we had budgeted.
What do you attribute that to? I'm curious. Why is it so much over?
New police chief.
Oh, really?
New police chief, all the vacant police positions. We had eight police officer positions open or vacant for over a year. So when this new chief came in, the marching orders for him was from council and city manager, was you will fill those positions right away. The number one complaint that we get at City Hall is speeding and not stopping at stoplights or stop signs.
Yep.
So that was another, he beefed up the enforcement on neighborhood streets. He also beefed up enforcement on I-35.
I see that.
Yeah.
I see a lot of pullovers.
Right.
And also they're enforcing expired registration, license plate.
You mean on the furniture road?
No, on the main highway.
On I-35?
On I-35.
I thought that was only state troopers.
No, within city limits, we can.
Really? Yeah.
Troopers can do anywhere. They're it's open season for them. Us, we have to stay within city limits.
Okay.
The sheriffs can do anywhere within the county. So they have a little wider scope than we do.
But what the sheriff's department will tell you is that each one kind of has their little spot, and they try not to come into the city because that's Kyle's spot, and so they try to kind of avoid that. So they work on the outside. They don't want to step on toes either.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have a lot of police officer friends, and they tell me that each area, who controls that area. So yeah, they actually do segregate.
So to answer your question, a lot of enforcement and filling up the vacant positions. In addition, this last fiscal year, City Council approved motorcycle cops. We added two motorcycle cops, and those guys do nothing but traffic violations.
I thought you would have been down to one. They bumped that back up to two.
No, last year got approved two, and this new year we added one.
Okay.
It started out with two,
right,
and it ended up with one more. So we'll have three now on the streets, so be careful.
Yeah, actually the first Kyle exit after we pass Home Depot, the motorcycle cops hang here on the southbound side, because everyone flies down that, and especially in the mornings, and I'm glad to see they're catching those guys.
Yes, they are.
Glad to get off track. Does the highway patrol, do they have jurisdiction like on Center Street? Can they give you a ticket?
They normally won't. But if they see a open violation, you know, somebody drinking and driving,
so they have that authority.
They have that authority. Anywhere in the state of Texas. But they normally stay out of the city jurisdictions.
No, actually, I do have a question that I heard in Texas, in certain cities, you can't, they call it abuse of the radar. And you can't have so much capital coming in from traffic violations, because they say you're abusing the radar system.
Selma
had a huge history of that. We're not even at 146 or 46% going over, nowhere near that.
No. We have folks on I-35 that are from, they're not just Kyle folks. They're from Pennsylvania, New York, California. Right. It's all over the place. So we get checks in the mail from...
Isn't that nice?
From way far away.
Actually, my mom got pulled over. She didn't... She's from California, and she didn't realize that there was a stop sign. Or,
oh.
She was... She's so paranoid about these...
Oh, two-way frontage.
Yeah, frontage roads. And anyway, so... She got a ticket. So you got a California
lesson
check.
Learned.
Well, they'll be changed soon. They're doing
work on it. This is the last one. So it should be, I think,
it was supposed
early
to be done in
year.
2011. It's supposed to be finished.
Yeah.
So it's behind. But yeah, they're working on it pretty fast.
So municipal court fines were 46% over what we had budgeted. Construction inspection fees, we're seeing an increased activity in construction and new permits. Was $116,000 or 16%, $478,000 for the year. Other inspection fees, these are smaller inspection jobs, such as swimming pools, or somebody's building a patio, somebody's
a shed.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I've paid a lot of those already.
It's atrocious, that fee.
I had to pay a fee to get a water softener installed.
Yep.
I was blown away.
If you touch
water heater?
If you touch the plumbing system or the electrical system, yes.
I mean, it's pre-plumbed. I just had to go in there and cut the pipe and put it in. And
how did they find out about it?
He was proactive.
Because I had
a plumber.
Lowe's or Home Depot install it. They said, well, if you're in the city of Compton, you got it.
There you go.
I built a pergola, and it's not even attached to the house. And there's no electricity, there's no plumbing.
It's a structure.
It's just a structure. It's not attached to the house, and they made me get a permit.
It's for safety.
Yeah, I know.
It's for safety. On the water side, it's very critical because the water system is pressurized. If the person doesn't know what they're doing, it could suck back bad water into the distribution system, city's distribution system.
Yeah, you're not supposed to take off those valves off of your spigots. That make the water come out one direction only. You're not supposed to take those off. You can get fined for them if you take them off your faucets or have one installed without it.
That's why you see when you have a sprinkler system, the city makes you, is across the board anywhere, put in a backflow preventer so it doesn't bring the water back. Okay, moving right along. Same thing on land use planning fees, about 1.5% above budget. Recreation fees was little less than what we had budgeted. These are types of fees that include the sports leagues, recreation programs, summer camps.
Could that be due to the heat? Do you think maybe more people aren't signing up for it? And
I think as kids are growing, we see less kids in our summer camps now. In addition to that, we also believe that the economy had something, had something to do with it, that people were cutting costs. Special event program fees, these are, mostly these are monies from the park rentals, facility rentals when people rent pools or the old city hall. Swimming pool fees for the year, number 11, was $58,000 or 22% over what we had predicted in the budget, and that's primarily because of how hot it was this summer. Transfers in, the general fund gets about $1.6 million from the utility fund to conduct or to provide services to the utility fund. This, by the way, was reduced by $300,000 in the new budget.
Are we trying to, if I remember correctly from our last budget meeting, we're trying to prevent this from happening in the future?
Right. We're trying to reduce it to where it's, the norm is about 8 to 10% of the gross revenues. So we're trying to bring it down to where it is going to be around 8%. The logic behind that is if it was a private investor-owned utility, it would pay taxes, it would pay franchise fees, it would pay other fees that normally city doesn't pay. So being at an enterprise, it needs to pay back the general government its share. So this is another way of paying back. And the norm is about 8 to 10% of gross revenues. On the expenditure side, this is on page 6. The administrative departments, these are departments such as mayor, council, city manager's office, HR, IT. They were 95.4% of what they had been authorized to spend.
Good job.
Number 3, community and communications departments. These are building inspection, planning, economic development, and the PIO, the communications department. They were 93.9% of approved budget. Number 4, financial services. We were at 94.4%, or $759,000. Parks and Recreation was at 89%, or $1.6 million. Library was at 97%, or $375,000. Police Department, this is our largest department budget, $3.9 million, and they came out at 96.7%. Public Works Department. Public Works Department has two sources of money, general fund and utility. This is the general fund portion of it, and general fund portion is basically the street maintenance, the street cleaning, traffic lights, street lights, and the sanitation. They oversee the sanitation contract. So their total budget for the street maintenance came in at 75.3%. The sanitation services was 98.4%. Combined, they were at 91.8, or $2 million. Non-departmental expenditures, these are the expenditures that are not specific to a city department, such as the economic development rebate payments to Seton, to DDR. This is where Kohl's and Target shopping centers are, workers' comp. This turned out to be 82.2% of the budget. And then on page 7, if you don't have any questions on general fund, I can move on to utilities.
I just want to say,
kudos.
I'm proud of all our department heads. It seems like everybody came under budget.
I know, that's impressive.
Yeah. Cool. One of the things that we did that helped the department heads, it used to be that there weren't any financial reporting, monthly reporting to department heads. They were pretty much operating in the blind, in the dark. And at the year end, they would find out how they ended up. What we have done now is they're getting monthly reports. Not only the finance team is monitoring what they're doing, they themselves are monitoring, because they have to report to now city manager how they did each month, and then to council quarterly, and then at the end of the year. So there's a lot of open transparency now, where they're being held accountable of the resources they were given and how they spent it, what they did with it.
Could you briefly clarify for me the relationship between the general fund and the utility fund? Because my understanding was that the utility fund basically does not earn enough to pay for itself. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so, but it says transfer in from the utility fund. So in other words, the utility fund is paying out to the general fund because city employees that are being paid out of the general fund
provide service
to the utility fund.
Right. Such as
$1.5 million.
$1.6 million. Yeah. And these types of activities include: they get support from IT, they get support from HR, they get support from finance, city manager, mayor, and council. So when you add all those up, including the overhead such as electricity, fuel, office supplies, that's the amount. Plus, there is a small, in lieu of taxes, amount built in as well. So the overall goal is, in the next 5 years, is to bring that $1.6 million down to about 8% of the utility's gross revenues.
Which would be
about $1 million. About $1 million.
So yeah, you said utilities make about $12 million, bring in about $12 million.
Yeah, it's about, roughly.
Okay.
That $12 million includes solid waste, sanitation. If you just look at water and sewer, it's about $10 million, roughly.
Well, that includes the garbage pickup?
No, the $12 million that you mentioned includes the garbage in there.
Okay.
But if you just look
at contract, that's contracted out to,
right, to TDS.
Right.
If you, and we can, I can explain to you in more detail on page 7.
No, that's okay. It was just a little odd to me because you had said that they were having a shortfall that they're paying in, but they're paying in because they're...
That's their obligation.
Right. They're leveraging.
Yeah. And the reason they're lopsided is water and sewer rates were not adjusted for 10 years, even though your cost kept going up. That happened on the utility fund. What happened in the general fund, we're adding debt, we're adding new operating requirements or costs. The property tax kept being reduced for 10 years in a row. So, I mean, my budget at home doesn't work that way. Why would it work here? So there's a $2 million gap on the utility side in the utility fund. The difference between revenue and what needs to be paid for to operate the utility.
A $2 million gap, and $1.6 million of that is leaving the utility fund going into the general fund.
Yeah, but it's not free.
I'm not. It's really a majority of it. It's a cost.
It's a cost responsibility of the utility.
But the of that $2 million, a large chunk of that shortfall is the utility fund paying out to the general fund.
Right. And as we reduce the general fund transfer, that gap will narrow also. And right. Smaller increases where we had a 3-year rate plan.
Okay, I'm just trying to clarify the relationship.
So if you look on page 7, same format for the table. If you look at the last column, revenue, the second line, revenue is about $9.7 million. The expenditure, actual expenditure year to date, before we get the final invoices, is 10.1. But if you look at the budget, when the budget was adopted, we forecasted revenues to be $9 million, $9.1 million. And the required expenditures to operate the utility and to meet all regulatory compliance requirements, it was $11.2 million, including operating costs, debt service costs, raw water costs, water supply costs. So there's a $2 million gap that we could not raise the rates all in one time to make that close. Mm-hmm. It would have been just horrendous. So what we did a couple of things. We looked at the revenue stream, how we could adjust the rates, and also looked at the expenditure side, how we could minimize or reduce the cost side. So combination of those two we're looking at in year number 3, which will be fiscal year 14, wastewater side. The utility has 2 sides, water and wastewater. The wastewater side will be pretty much breaking even if we don't have new significant costs pushed onto us from the state. By that I mean TCQ, if we have TCQ regulatory issues, or we run out of capacity in our wastewater treatment plant, which is predicted in the next 3 to 5 years, we will need another treatment plant. And you're talking about now $4 to $7 million, depending. Mm-hmm. So in 3 years, the wastewater gap will be closed. Water will take a little longer because water is more capital intensive than the sewer side. So overall, if you look at the fund balance, because there is a gap from $4.9 million in year 2010, we had forecasted that we would end up at $1.2 million. But because of cost cutting that we did, we are now at $2.9 or almost $3 million. So we have made some improvements in terms of our financial position, but we're not quite there. That revenue and expenditure should match or very close to.
And just to reiterate, so the transfers started for you guys, but so the transfers out, which is a large chunk of that, is what we just discussed. Mm-hmm. And you're aiming to get that from the 1.6 to about 1?
About roughly $1 million.
Which would just about make up the shortfall, actually.
Right. But also keep in mind, these numbers are not going to be expenditures static.
Oh, I know.
Your capital debt service is going up. And fuel cost is going up. Chemical cost is going up. So all of that is going up at the same time. Under the revenue for the utility fund, the highlights are water sales, $5.5 million, or 4% above what we had predicted in the budget. Miscellaneous charges on the water side, these are TAF fees, reconnection fees, late payment penalties, was $428,000 or 33.6%, higher than budget. Wastewater charges, $3.5 million or 7.8%. Number five, miscellaneous wastewater charges, TAF fees and other miscellaneous fees was $76,000 or 105% over what we had predicted. There's a combination of things that are happening in the revenue side. The city's billing system that the city bought several years back, I think it was 2008 or 2009, they would lump everything in one bucket. So when you got water bill, wastewater bill, miscellaneous bill, minimum monthly charge, it would just go all in one bucket. Then they slowly started to separate water and wastewater. Now, or at least when I came on, we didn't have separation of minimum monthly charge. We didn't have separation of miscellaneous fees that we collect between water and wastewater. We didn't have separation of TAP fees. We didn't have separation of late payment penalties. So it was all in one big bucket. This year we started a big push for reprogramming our billing system to where the water utility stands on its feet, wastewater utility stands on its feet. Because if you don't have that, you cannot set the rates appropriately. Not everyone that we have is a water and wastewater customer. We have some water customers only. We have some wastewater customers only. So it would be unfair to them if we gave them water charges and they're only wastewater, and vice versa. So to get that fixed, I had to separate the charges for the utilities. And that's, so some of this that you see lopsided, if you look at number five, wastewater miscellaneous is $76,000 and water miscellaneous is $428,000. It's because in the last 2 months we started separating. So this fiscal year it will be completely separate. Okay, now on the expenditure side. On the utility side you have administration, $756,000. It came in under budget at 87%. Utility billing expenditures, these are expenditures to get the meters read, the bills prepared, the collections, all of that that takes the entire process from start to finish, was $401,000 or 92% of the budget. Water operations, this is the area of the utility that gets the water treated, gets the water out in the distribution system, gets the water in the fire hydrants, gets the water in the reservoirs, was $1,075,000 or 82.9%. Water supply expenditures, these are water that we buy before we send to our customers. So water from GBRA, water from Barton Springs at Edwards Aquifer, water from San Marcos, water from Edwards Aquifer District, that's accounted for in this $3.5 million. Excuse me. And that came in at 95% of approved budget. Wastewater operations, this is the treatment plant, the lift stations, the manholes, the collection system pipes, all of that was $1.8 million. Or 76% of approved budget. The total transfers out to other funds from the utility fund was $2.6 million. $1.6 was to general fund, and the difference was for debt service, for the utility share of debt service.
What is that share? Do you know that?
For the overall debt?
Utility, yeah.
No, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Is that increasing? Is the utility debt service portion increasing over the next few years?
It will go slightly up because when the debt were issued, there were capitalized interest towards the front. So we're hitting those just slightly. But the major debt increase will be for general fund next year.
Okay.
It's almost $1 million. Unless, I think we talked about that here as well. We refinance and do some of the other debt management strategies that we talked about.
You said you had some strategies in mind. So.
When I look at the budget, I see total water operations 2.798. Is that wastewater and water combined?
You're in the approved budget?
Yeah, I'm looking at the approved budget.
Okay, that's for a new fiscal year.
Oh, okay. And this was for 11-12.
Yes. And that budget is under the second column from the right?
Well, actually, 11 to 12, they have 2.9 here for total water operations. I'm just trying to connect.
So if you look at the, you're looking at line number 4?
No, I'm actually looking in the budget.
Oh, okay.
Budget.
What page are you on?
Monster document, page 138. I'm looking at the total water operations. Just, it only comes up because I'm trying to look at some of the details of what the biggest pieces of the operations are.
What was the page number?
138.
138. Yeah, you don't have your own budget.
I didn't bring it with me.
Thought his phone, his battery's dead.
Yeah. I would have thought he had it all through his memory, but he already failed that test. So.
Hey, he's got a lot of numbers in that noggin. I'll tell you.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the.
Is the reason because if you look at in the water operations, you have the transfer shown here, and in the report, we're showing the transfer separately.
Okay,
that's so the difference.
So the 1.6 million is.
If you subtract that from the 2.9, is the net for water operations. You'll see the same thing on the wastewater operations side. That's where the debt service is budgeted. Does that help?
Well, yeah, that's, I guess that's what we're talking about. Right. Approved 11-12.
And then it matches. And then you have this transfer right here.
Right. I'm trying to understand because it says water operations expenditure is 1 million and wastewater operations is 1.7 million. So is that, so when I see total water operations here, is that combining those two?
No.
It's not.
No. You will see another section for wastewater operations.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay. The only reason that number is higher is because of the transfers out in the book.
Yeah, if you take the 1.6 out, you come to that number or thereabouts.
And then on page 8, this is something we provide to council every quarter, how each department is doing. Every department is under their approved budget. The city council was slightly above because their training costs were slightly higher than what we anticipated in the budget. And they went over by roughly $500.
Man, so close. How often do they get a report? I'm just kidding.
Quarterly.
Do they get it quarterly?
So that pretty much concludes my overall review of the two funds, general fund and utility fund. And as we finalize the report to council, when we have that ready, I'll bring that to the committee as well.
Okay. Thanks for doing that for us.
I'm always impressed with your work.
Thank you. The last bullet, I just wanted to make the committee aware that the city's mobility committee is looking at bond package options for roadway improvements. And so they have asked me to come to their committee meeting tomorrow with some impact analysis numbers. Basically, they're interested in looking at what the property tax rates would look like if they were to do different combinations. I've been working on these options for the last couple of nights, and there are five different options that they're looking at. It goes anywhere from all of the roads to just one road, any combination. And they're also looking at doing a different timing for bond sales rather than selling all the bonds up front. So I will be presenting that to them tomorrow evening at 7 in the same room. So if you're interested, I, on their behalf, I would like to extend an invitation. So I just wanted to make you all aware of it, and hopefully in the next meeting we'll have some solid numbers after they go through their different scenarios and options. The intent there is that they will come up with some combination of options for council's consideration.
Okay.
They will present it to council. Council last night discussed what they were thinking in terms of doing. They're thinking in line of a workshop where they would invite, once they have these recommendations, they would invite not only the public, but all of the committees, including this committee, to come give your comments or suggestions.
So you said the mobility, is that the the bonds for all the new roads they were talking about, or the improvements and
right.
whatnot? So they're like, I think there were seven that were defined by the visioning
process.
Workshop.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the same ones, Bunton, Lehman, Marketplace,
okay.
those same ones.
So it's just preliminary. We have some studies about how much, what the cost of each one is.
Right.
And, okay. So it's just bond package options.
Right. Which combination is better?
Right.
And prioritizing which roads first.
Right. Right. It could be because we can't do them all
right.
at once.
So depending on who lives where, the priorities may be different.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Who has the most representatives there? Of course, this isn't, what's the, or maybe you don't know, like the action point. You know, you're going to be presenting this. They're going to present that to council. What's the timeline for, though I would imagine those would go to general election.
Right, sort. Right.
Are there any studies on the actual traffic that uses these roads? Like, you know, like 10,000?
Oh, the traffic counts?
Yeah, the traffic
counts. I'm not sure if the city engineer has that information. I'm just not aware of it.
Maybe one that has more traffic on it should get bigger priority even.
Yeah, but it also has to be looked at from public safety point of view. Can
sure.
you get a fire truck through emergency
yeah.
vehicles,
okay.
that
point.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they're looking at all those angles.
In your preliminary calculations, did you look, when you looked, at doing all five roads at the same time, what was, did that approach our debt limitations we put in place last year? Or?
No, it would still be under that threshold.
Okay.
Yeah. What's different this time around?
40% is that what you're talking about? I think so. An ordinance.
There are two different thresholds.
Yeah.
What's different this time? Different this time from the envisioning process is that they're looking at doing the roads not at all at one time. They're prioritizing it. They're also looking at. Maybe timing it such that the bonds are sold at different times. So there could be a one-year gap or a two-year gap. The timing, as I understand it, the target is for the voters to vote on in May. The state of Texas's deadline to call an election, I believe, is in March 1st or February 28th, somewhere there. So the council has to make a decision by that time. So backing up from that point, okay, what is going to be on the ballot? I would imagine council will have to make a decision by January, early February.
Does the MPO kick any money to these projects?
No, since these are all local streets. You're talking about TxDOT?
No, yeah, but Campo is TxDOT and the feds and everybody and probably.
Yeah, What little I know about Campo, they will only participate in major thoroughfares.
That's what I thought. Yeah. But
and these wouldn't qualify.
I have an ED&T committee meeting tomorrow night. Would you be willing to provide your data, whatever you're presenting tomorrow, with its implications? Can you do that?
Since I haven't shared with them. That's the reason brought it here.
After you present.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Sure, certainly.
What is ED&T?
Economic Development Tourism.
Certainly. I would like to bring it to this committee as soon as I present it to them. Okay. But I just wanted to make you all aware of that we're working with them on that package. Okay. And that's all I have.
Yes, so our next meeting is January 16th, 2013.
We'll have some.
Should be the third Wednesday.
Okay, January 16th.
Yes. It's at the bottom of the agenda.
I'm sorry.
These hours to keep.
Yes, sir. That's your copy.
Thank you.
Is there anything specific the committee would want to see on the agenda in January?
I off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything. Short of that.
Yeah.
So the results of your findings in there. Anyone else?
I have stuff, but I don't think it's really germane in this committee. So.
What do you mean? You can bring it up.
I have some questions, but I'm just kind of. I mean, the main mandate of this committee is dealing with financing and debt cost obligations, right? I mean, so yeah.
Are you sure? I mean, you can bring it up. And we can go from there. Or do you not want to open a can of worms?
I don't want to open a can.
I just want you to be heard.
Yeah.
So.
He has to formulate his thoughts first, and then.
I have thoughts, but they're formulated.
Are there any financial implications?
Yeah, I think things are angling. I mean, my concern is that there are structural problems because. Spending is bigger than revenues, and that if you're going to keep financing that through debt, no matter what, that's a losing proposition.
Right, which is why we did the debt ceiling and
that ordinance goes yeah. through. I probably have some questions about the ordinance, but I think I would want to write it down and maybe bring it up. We could maybe do that at the next meeting. I hesitate to do that because y'all are up to speed and I've only read it twice, so okay. I don't. But I think it was one of the mandates in the ordinance is we're supposed to look at it every year,
right?
And kind of do a performance review. When would that
see where we're at?
That would be sometime in March, April timeframe, right before the budget goes to council.
Okay, right. So around the second quarter.
Right.
Since city council probably needs to make a decision on the bond. Sometime in January, February. Do you think we should probably meet before January then to kind of discuss?
I would expect probably February is when they're probably going to be making or taking action.
I'm sure there will be workshops prior to that.
Okay. We can keep our eyes and ears open. And
tomorrow night,
special.
Tomorrow night, if y'all are interested, would be a good discussion y'all could hear.
Yeah,
what that committee is looking at or thinking.
Is there anyone that would be able to come? I am unfortunately at a T-ball game tomorrow night.
Yeah,
I'm a coach.
I am too, so.
I can't come tomorrow.
You can or cannot?
I cannot. I wish I could come to all the council meetings, but I can't.
Yeah.
Fortunately, those are on video.
Thankfully, yes.
You can make it? Mm-hmm. She can take notes. And
that would be awesome. In fact, we could put that on the agenda.
Well, at least you can get a feel of the room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
And if they have any recommendations after tomorrow's meeting, I'll share that with y'all as well.
All right. Well, with that, I move that we adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Yeah.
Let's wait for that.
For Wes, come help me for 30 seconds.
Okay.
Come help us.
Time him.
Yeah.